Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this special Remembrance Sunday service here at Emmanuel. Particular welcome if we have any visitors worshipping with us, and if that is the case, do please make yourself known to us before you leave, and perhaps you'd like to join us for a cup of tea or coffee in the church hall at the close of the service. Three people have reminded me, make sure they know it's tea and coffee this morning, so I've done it. Right. While I'm greeting people, can I greet those who are listening to the service as part of our recorded ministry? For whatever reason it is you're listening at home via the website, we do hope you will enjoy the service and feel uplifted by it. For those of you who are listening at home on your PC or your laptop, the service is being led by the minister, the Reverend Robert Jordan, and the reading from Paul's letter to the Romans will be given by me, Steve Brain. In terms of notices this morning, I hope you've all seen a copy of the weekly news, which contains everything you need to know about the coming week. Well, almost. But may I underline one notice, the importance of the closing date of our harvest appeal. Next Sunday will be the last opportunity that you have to give to the partnership project this year. The church treasurer needs to accept donations by next Sunday in order for monies to be transferred to the partnership treasurer, in order for the check presentations to take place at the start of December. So that explains it. Now, in addition to that, I have to say that Liz Gleed is drawing up the rota for Bible readings for the coming year, and she's looking for a few more volunteers. She would be delighted to hear from anyone who might be happy to join that rota. It would mean probably reading at most three times in the course of the year. With enough volunteers, it will only be twice a year. And finally, as we draw near to Advent and the Christmas season, the partnership has produced a little A5 leaflet which has got all of the services across the partnership printed on it for Advent right through to Christmas, and I was going to say yes, and into January. So do pick one up from the chapel. They're there in a little pile. So the services over Advent and Christmas are available. I will now light our Christ candle and the peace candle, and we will have a few moments of quiet as we prepare ourselves for worship.
Good morning and welcome to our Remembrance Sunday service. For the last 2 or 3 years, it always gives me the impression that the Sunday we remember makes it more urgent to remember given the world situation. And in that context, we celebrate worship today. And from Psalm 46, our words for call to worship. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. The Lord of hosts is with us. Our first hymn this morning, from Rejoice and Sing, it's hymn 705, Our God, Our Help in Ages Past. Invite you to join with me at a time of prayer, and we will end this prayer with the words of the Lord's Prayer said together. Let us pray. We are your children. You are God. And we come before you as we come week after week to meet, to hear, to be challenged, to learn, to seek forgiveness and be forgiven. Lord, on this Sunday in particular, we come to you remembering. Remembering what was, what happened, and committing ourselves for change, for things to be different, for peace, for empathy, for love. We come in a world that is divided, where tensions grow. We come in a world where many are reminding us of what we can do, how to be part of change. We thank you. We thank you for all that gives us a sense of belonging, for all that makes us who we are. We thank you for the lives of all those who, in spite of all opposition, speak your word of peace and truth and justice. It's very difficult sometimes. But help them to keep going and to continue to inspire us. We thank you for those who day by day carry out their tasks, not as if it were something extraordinary, but in the ordinariness of life. Those who teach, those who heal, those who care, those who don't give up. Those that have time for others. Thank you. Thank you for what it means, and that more and more of us be called to be part of that. We thank you for the churches, for the partnership of churches, for what we can do together here in Swindon, and for the churches everywhere, that they may be part of the solutions, that they may speak truth to power. Dear God, there is so much on our minds at this time, and sometimes it's difficult. And week after week, you will hear us say the same thing because we believe it's important. But also, week after week, you turn to us and ask us how we are being part of what we're asking for. Guide us. Guide us to come closer to you and to each other. And in our prayer, we also seek forgiveness. Forgiveness for the wrongdoings, for indifference, for just taking things for granted, for often not believing in the words we say. Forgive us in your grace and your love, so that we may be made new, renewed, transformed. Forgive us, and forgive this world from departing from your ways, that through your grace and our coming together, more and more may be done, so that your will grows, inspires, for second opportunities, and third and fourth. You don't give up. Help us not to give up either. We don't often have the power, but help us to believe that through your guidance, wonderful things can be done. And as your children, we come together and once again say the words that Jesus taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We sing again, this time hymn 58 from Rejoice and Sing, Eternal Father, Strong to Save. This time of the service, we share what we have been able to set apart for the offering. make you work on this Sunday, don't they? Dear God, we thank you for what we receive, and we thank you that you give us the opportunity to share from all that, the offering that is in the plate, but also our time and our talents and what we give in different ways. Into your hands we commend this. Give grace and vision to those who have to distribute it, that your name may be proclaimed in the world. Amen. And we share the words of the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you very much. Before we connect to the cenotaph, I want to share with you a poem this time. I guess you, most of you, will know who I'm talking about if I mention Bob Dylan. He was the Nobel Prize for Literature in 2016. He's quite a good painter as well, and this is a poem he wrote, and it became a mournful song which has inspired many people over the years. It is written basically for his reality in the United States of America, but as it goes through, it opens up to the world. Oh, my name ain't nothing. My age means less. The country I come from is called the Midwest. It's taught and brought up there the laws to abide, and that the land that I live on has God on its side. Oh, the history books tell it, they tell it so well. The cavalry's charged, the Indians fell. The cavalry's charged, the Indians died. Oh, the country was young with God on its side. The Spanish-American War had its day, and the Civil War, too, was soon laid away. And the names of the heroes I was made to memorize with guns in their hands and God on their side. The First World War, boys, it came and it went. The reason for fighting I never did get, but learned to accept it and accept it with pride, for you don't count the dead when God's on your side. The Second World War came to an end. We forgave the Germans and they were friends. Though they murdered 6 million in the ovens they fried, the Germans now too have God on their side. I learned to hate the Russians all through my whole life. If another war comes, it's them we must fight. To hate them and fear them, to run and to hide, and accept it all bravely with God on my side. But now we've got weapons of chemical dust. If fire them we are forced to, then fire them we must. One push of the button and they shoot the world wide, and you never ask questions when God's on your side. Through many dark hours I've been thinking about this, that Jesus Christ was betrayed by a kiss. But I can't think for you, you'll have to decide whether Judas Iscariot had God on his side. So now, as I'm leaving, I'm weary as hell. The confusion I'm feeling ain't no tongue can tell. The words fill my head and they fall on the floor, that if God's on our side, he'll stop the next war. In a few moments, we will keep the 2 minute silence. A short time when we think of those the world around who gave their life. These 2 minutes will be different for different people. Some thoughts will be loved ones gone, whom they can't forget. For some, those who died were friends and contemporaries. We remember courage, kindness, sense of fun, shared times in different situations of life. During the silence, we can pray for those who today feel sad or lonely, for those who are damaged physically, spiritually, emotionally, through cruelty of war. All of us can pray for those under the threat of danger in our world, for children in so many parts of the world who are homeless, hungry, and alone because of war. And all are invited to pray for peace and commit themselves to work for peace, justice, reconciliation of the whole family of God, and in silence hear what God has to say. In a few moments, we will be connecting by radio, uniting with millions across the world at this time. When that happens, those of you who are able to stand, we will invite you to stand. And please remain standing. After the 2 minutes have concluded, there will be a short prayer, and the choir will then sing, so as not to get up and down, if you remain standing, if you can stand, until after the choir has sung what it is going to sing.
As we hear that order, the balconies are filling. In the centre balcony opposite me, I see the Princess of Wales. The balcony to the left is Vice Admiral Sir Tim Lawrence, the Duke of Kent. And the right balcony, the Duchess of Edinburgh and the Duke of Gloucester. Looking down, the Princess of Wales is all in black with a scarlet poppy. And here comes the King. Behind him, the Princess Royal, the Prince of Wales, the Duke of Edinburgh. Shortly, the King's troop, Royal Horse Artillery, will fire a solitary World War I field gun in Horse Guards Parade to represent the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month in 1918. It will coincide with the first chime of Big Ben striking the hour, the same bell heard by those who returned from that war or who lost those who did not. The silence which follows evokes the end of hostilities with radio's loudest sound.
ever-living God, we remember those whom you have gathered from the storm of war into the presence of your peace. May that same peace calm our fears, bring justice to all peoples, and establish harmony among the nations. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Bible reading this morning are verses taken from Paul's letter to the church at Rome. For those of you who wish to follow it, you can find it on page 154 of the Bibles in the pews. Page 154. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, and I'm beginning to read at verse 31. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things we are more than conquerors. Through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Stephen, so very much for guiding us in the reading. That poem from Bob Dylan often reminds me that in different countries of the world, opposing sides have invoked and continue to invoke God on their side. Even Paul, writing this letter to the church in Rome, uses similar idea. If God is for us, who is against us? The reality is that when Paul wrote this letter, there was no Christian nation. There were Christian groups here and there. They were the ones that invoked God. But it wasn't a question of national identity and national pride. That didn't happen until the year 300 and something, when Constantine declared Christianity the religion of the Roman Empire. Clearly, it's not about invoking God's name only, because that's very easy to do. It's more living the values that God has taught us in the life and ministry of Jesus that make the difference. At least that's what I firmly believe in. God loves generously. And in a time such as the one we are living, can we truly say that God loves only those like us? Does belonging to a particular nationality, ethnic group, or whatever else give us special treatment? And the reality is that it would seem in the world today that that is the case. God is on my side, and you're different from me. Without saying it, I'm saying God is not with you. And that has happened so many times in the world history. But then we hear, as Steve just read from the letter of Paul to the Romans, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus. You've probably heard that passage more read at funerals than at any other time, and rightly so. But its scope is much wider than that. It affirms the relationship between God and God's people. And it's a link that we can't even should try to manipulate. God has chosen to establish what God calls God's people. So what is the challenge in this reading and for us this Remembrance Sunday? I feel that the big challenge is that remembering is not good enough. If all we do is remember and then turn the page and continue as if nothing had happened, we do remembrance a disservice. Remembering must lead us to change, to be different, to learning new ways to connect with one another, seeing our common humanity. Is everything we do and say, and the way we do it and say it, an expression that God is on our side? If this is so, can we be let off the hook for anything that happens because God is on our side? We live in a time which is horrendous in many ways, but that's not the only part of the story. It can't be the only part of the story. We have to be challenged. We have to learn. We live in a time of extermination. of the people died in Gaza are children and women, not combatants. Gas chambers, with different names, genocide, human-produced famine, the arms industry, destruction of the environment. Do we really believe that God is on that side? I would find that very difficult. The way we treat the hungry, the marginalized, the foreigner, the stranger. Jesus was so clear where he stood with all that. On whose side would we find God and God's people given these circumstances? for things that are happening in the world. More than once, probably in the last 10 days, I've heard so often, "He's got to sleep. Where is he? How does he let this happen?" You've probably thought that yourself. And the reality being that I think, in faith, I could say that God would replicate that to us and say, "Let's work together. Don't leave it all up to me. Let us work together for that is my dream and your dream." So when we invoke God on our side, let's also be careful not to take the Lord's name in vain. Subtly in the world, subtly, I'm not sure if it's subtly, I don't know why I use that word, but you probably all remember times more than I do and things where politicians suddenly invoke God in a way that would seem to demonstrate an intense faith. But when you scratch the surface, you begin to wonder where they got some of their ideas from. How close are they to the teachings of Jesus? Is God on that side? Today we remember. And remembering is important. Because you see, remembering is an active verb. It's something we choose to do, which is very different from trying not to forget. That is more a chance thing. Oh, I forgot. It's different from I remember. And I don't want to be flippant, but age sometimes makes forgetting much stronger than it was years back. But remembering is ingrained in us. And for the people of faith, we say that word each time we take communion, for example. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And it's not remembrance with the brain only, it's remembering with the heart and the gut. And this is what I always feel, that Remembrance Sunday has to lead in that direction. They often say that those who forget their past are condemned to repeat it. If you have the courage or the stomach to go through an hour of the news at 6 or 7 o'clock or whatever time on the radio or read your newspaper, it would seem that we are repeating patterns of the past that we hope would never come back. So our remembering should include a fervent prayer for change, not to commit those things that should never be happening. Those that we remember today, those that gave their lives, those that came back, and those that never came back, I would believe that they would not want to see the repetition of history as if nothing had happened, as if they hadn't gone to the front, as if they hadn't seen comrades blown to bits. Things should never be repeated. I looked up for this service. The International Crisis Group has a title, 10 Scenarios to Look Out For in 2024. It's a month and a half for it to finish. So today we remember World War I and World War II. But then there's Gaza and the wider Middle East. There is Sudan. There is Ukraine, Myanmar, Ethiopia, the Sahel, Haiti, Armenia and Azerbaijan, US and China. Those are the 10 top things that they're working on and worried about. And some of them you know about and some of them you probably don't. Given this reality and on this day, and the reading of Paul to the Romans, inviting them to remember, truly remember, what God is doing and how God stands, I just would like to invite us all. God expects each of God's children to be part of change. We can't leave it up to the others. God wants us to be part with God in that walk of life, working for peace, or as the last verse in the poem from Bob Dylan, stopping the next war. I pray truly, fervently, then when we turn to God and say, change is needed, dear God, we can also add after a second of a pause, please God, begin with me. When we feel that we are all included, we remember, rightly so, and work for change, so that that remembrance continues to be active, important, and life-changing. Let us not forget that, and I use the words intentionally, let us not forget that, because then our remembering will lead us on a new path, a path in which many people from different cultures, different traditions, different nationalities, different religions are all involved in. With them, we discover God on our side, hopefully on the side of peace, justice, honor, and love. Amen. Our next hymn is hymn 590, In Heavenly Love Abiding. our prayers of intercession, where we think and bring before God the needs of others. Let us pray. This world is yours in all its beauty and all its possibilities and its horror, a horror that you don't want, and neither do we. For leaders of the nations, that their ruling may not be a project of vanity, but of service. We pray, O Lord, for the church in the world, that firmly grounded in your vision of life in fullness for all, we may proclaim your word and live your will. We remember today all the ordinary people ripped up from their towns and villages, torn from their families, to serve their country in war. We remember today the people left behind to keep things going in factories, on farms, on streets, devastated by destruction. We remember today the people who have lost their lives in the wars of the past and the wars of the present, and those who left behind, or those left behind who never saw their loved ones again, who grew up without a parent, a sibling, a partner, a friend, those who never discovered love again, for those who grew old alone. We remember today all the ordinary people on either side of conflicts whose lives were changed forever, all those who paid the price of freedom. And in our remembering, these ordinary people, women and men like us, young, old, we remember that the cost of war will always be too high, paid always by ordinary people. We pray, O God, for wisdom and courage to stand up against injustice and work for peace. Here and everywhere in this world. Amen. The choir will now sing the anthem that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Words taken from various Bible passages and set to the music by Samuel Sebastian Wesley. Kerry will now share with us the reading of a poem.
Leslie Coulson. He left England on Christmas Eve 1914. The battalion went first to Malta, but in October 1915, after a month's training in Egypt, was shipped to Helles on the Gallipoli Peninsula. On 7th of October, the Rangers took part in the battle for the Transloy Ridges. Coulson, in the first wave of the attack, was shot in the chest. He died the next day at Grovetown Casualty Clearing Station. The manuscript of this poem was discovered amongst his possessions. Who Made the Law? By Leslie Coulson. Who made the law that men should die in meadows? Who spake the word that blood should splash in lanes? Who gave it forth that gardens should be boneyards? Who spread the hills with flesh and blood and brains? Who made the law? Who made the law that death should stalk the village? Who spake the word to kill among the sheaves? Who gave it forth that death should lurk in hedgerows? Who flung the dead among the fallen leaves? Who made the law? Those who return shall find that peace endures, find old things old, and know the things they knew, walk in the garden, slumber by the fireside, share the peace of dawn, and dream amid the dew, those who return. Those who return shall till the ancient pastures, clean-hearted men shall guide the plough-horse reins. Some shall grow apples and flowers in the valleys. Some shall go courting in the summer down the lanes, those who return. But who made the law? The trees shall whisper to him, see, see the blood, the splashes on our bark. Walking the meadows, he shall hear bones crackle, and fleshless mouths shall gibber in silent lanes at dark. Who made the law? Who made the law? At noon upon the hillside, his ears shall hear a moan, his cheeks shall feel a breath, and all along the valleys, past gardens, crofts, and homesteads, he who made the law, he who made the law, he who made the law shall walk along with death. Who made the law?
We will sing our last hymn for the service, and after the blessing, we will join together. It's hymn 762, but I'm sure most of you know the words. It's God Save the King. Now it's hymn 663, Love Divine.
Thank you.
the Gospel of John, we hear these words. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." May the peace of God that passes all understanding be with us, with those we love, and with the people of God in every corner of this world. God bless you, keep you, and guide you this day and forevermore. Amen.